This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan at this time, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And it's good to be back with you folks. I've always appreciate coming into your home, and I feel like I know many of you. Some of you I do know well. Some of you I'd like to come by and eat a piece of pie and drink some coffee with you on one of these cold mornings. So would you just listen for a moment, and then we'll get back to our study. Chapter of Hebrews. I think it's one of the greatest chapters in the Bible as far as information and informative and letting us see what we have in Christ. And we were looking there in our last study at that verse. It said, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please Him any other way, my friend. There's no way to please the Lord. You can't please Him with all your praying. You can't please Him with all your giving. And listen, apart from faith, there must be faith connected to those things. I don't care how noble you live, you can't please Him apart from faith. I don't care how much you say you love the Lord, you can't please Him apart from faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Now, that may be an eye-opener to you, that may raise some eyebrows, but that's the way it is. And that's true in the physical, as in a domestic realm of life. And that's true in the church. I don't care how much you work. How many friends do I have who work themselves to death in the church, dipping soup at Christmas and Thanksgiving, or cutting the grass for the church and the parsonage, and thinking they're doing God a favor? You can't. I don't care how much you work. I don't care how much you serve. Oh, I know folks who seem like every hour the church is open, they're there doing something, and always there. And praying, I don't care how much you pray. If you have no confidence in the Lord and your pastor, you can't please. No, if you don't have confidence in me, you can't please me. How much? If you doubt my word, and I have folks who do that. I have folks who treat me one way to my face and another way to my back. But my friend, it's not hard to tell. But you can't please. If you don't believe what I'm saying, you don't make me happy. No, sir, my friend. But listen. I don't care how much you may do. In the home, if you don't have any confidence in your parents, your children, you can't please them. And that holds true in the Lord. The individual to please God must trust Him, must trust the Lord. I asked you, do you trust the Lord? I often tell you that salvation is trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord when the times are good. Trusting the Lord when the times are hard. Trusting Him when the rent's due. Trusting Him when the bills come in you don't have the money to do that with. But listen, it's trusting the Lord. You know, it would be nice if everything was an easy street, wouldn't it? You wouldn't have to trust the Lord. You wouldn't have to depend on the Lord if everything fell into place and you had money in the bank all the time. But listen, we see here in God's dealing with Noah and the world that were just a sampling pledge of his dealing with the world in all ages. And that is, just trust the Lord. Now, that's easy said, is it? But it's not easy to do, is it? Not very easily done. The only way in the world you can please the Lord is to believe him. Just take him at his word. Just take him at his word. That's what, you know, we have God's word here that I hold in my hand. I hold it up in my congregation sometime. I say, this is God's word. Believe it and be saved. Just believe it and go to hell for your trouble. And folks will say, oh, you're just cruel, Trailblazer. You're just an old, mean old kook. No, no. I'm trying to throw something in your path to keep you from going out into eternity lost. And I'm hoping and praying that these studies here will throw some light on your condition. Listen, did you know there are two wills? There's a will of man, your will. Every person has a will of his own. And there's a will of man. There's a will of God and the will of man. To walk in a will of God, you must trust him. To walk in your own will is to distrust the Lord. And I often tell folks who ask me about why they're not saved and so forth and so on. Well, no sinner ever gets saved until that will is broken. You say, Trailblazer, what do you mean by that? I mean that we come here with a will of our own. Did you ever watch a baby grow up? You ever watch a baby grow up? Just as soon as you start putting shoes on him with strings in them and then tie them for him two or three times, he won't tie them himself. He don't want you to tie him. He wants to tie him himself. He don't want you to hold his hand no more to walk. He wants to walk by himself. He has a will of his own. And as he gets on a little bigger, he'll slap you in the face if you don't watch it, because he has a will. You tell him no, and he'll tell you to go to hell when he gets to be a teenager. I know. You say that's true, Pastor? How many do I know who have rebelled against their parents? I'm telling you one thing. It's like we often say here, you got to start when they're mighty young, my friend, to make a mind. And I say, make a mind. You got to make them obey. You got to make them respect you. And I know back when I was a child, many, many, many years ago, it wasn't no such a thing as rebellion in a home, because the parents taught their children from their youth up to mind, obey. We said yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, to everybody that come along. That's right. We had to respect people, no matter who they were, no matter what color they were, no matter how old they were, how young they were. And I know this young man who worked for the church in New Orleans when we was down there, and his son was going to school, and his son was taught to obey and to behave. And he said, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, to his teacher. And the teacher told him one day, you don't have to say that to me. You don't have to say yes, ma'am, to me. Boy, I tell you what, I'd have been up there raising hell in a minute if she'd have told one of my kids that. To me, teaching him everything I can teach him, and then you're going to take it away from him in a sweep, in one sweep of the hand? You say you don't have to obey? Oh, no. I'd have been in her face the next morning. But listen, we also see here that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and trust him. You know, walking with the Lord is a life's attitude, my friend. It's your whole life's attitude. That's the reason I tell folks, let's don't judge a person by one little act or one little word that they say in a moment of desperation or something. It's I look at a person's lifetime. Oh, I have friends now who have gone on to be with the Lord, and I've known them for many years, and I go back and I look how they lived. They might have been poor as a snake, but they made everything. They never beat nobody out of their bills, never beat nobody out of what they owed them, and they come on up through life content with what such things as they had, and they walk with the Lord. So that's what old Enoch did. We saw that, didn't we? We saw that. But we see that it's walking with the Lord, start believing in him. When you believe the Lord, seeking him, obeying him, you start to trust him. You start seeking him. You want to do his will. Are you seeing anything here, folks? God's child, the true born-again believer, is not just some member in some sanctimonious church somewhere where everybody is afraid to look around or anything. They're so tight with pride and rebellion, but they don't mix with nobody. That's not walking in God's will. To walk in God's will is to be as the Lord would have you to do. Oh, my friend, I praise the Lord for the Lord breaking my old stubborn will. You know, I was a stubborn child. I was stubborn as a Missouri mule. That's what they say, Missouri mules are stubborn. But my friend, the Lord breaks that thing. And you know what I have to do? I have to ask him day after day, Lord, keep that thing broken. Keep that will broken. You know what an unbroken will will do? It'll send you to hell. It'll send you to hell, my friend. My dad was a voice of authority in our home, and his will was supreme. I didn't have no will around him after I got grown. Then I could do what I wanted to do. But no, not long as I was under the roof of my dad. He said, if you're going to eat supper at my table, you're going to do what I say. You're going to obey me. And I know that's a lost doctrine today. Folks don't do that. And we didn't sass our teachers and none of those things at school. But those days are gone, folks. Why? Why are they gone? Because we've lost it. The church has opened the door to the world, and the pastors are a worldling just like the world is. And they don't teach and preach to obey your parents. No, sir. They don't teach the Bible. That's right. Now, and then listen. The Lord is a revenger of those that despise him. Oh, my friend, God rewards those who seek him. God is a revenger of those who despises him, and the wrath of God rests upon him. Now, let me ask you something. Can you go through this life knowing that the wrath of God is resting upon you? I can't. No, sir. No, sir. Once you see that you're so sinful, you see your sinfulness, you want to be freed from that thing. How you do it? Come to the Lord, admitting you're wrong, taking the blame. You know what? We don't have anybody that takes the blame no more, do we? Everybody else is to blame. Oh, that's right. That fellow over there, he did it. He caused me to do it. But listen, no. And then in the next place, we see the destruction there in the world that came by the flood. God showed his displeasure. Folks never think of that. Did you know that the Lord is just in everything that he does? He does. I tell folks, you be mighty careful. I hear folks swear by God and swear by this and swear by that. I tell them, be mighty careful. Be mighty careful. But the Lord showed his displeasure against sin when the flood. Listen, our folks deny the flood. In the study of Revelation, the latter part of it, we come into contact there with a series of books I did, and I think four or five of them written by some scientist who takes opposition with all they know today in that world of a billion years old, or maybe many billions, and that all the cataclysms of the world that ever happened to the world happened back yonder millions of years ago. They take the position and prove it, they say, that all the cataclysm that we know of, if it ever happened to the world, that has happened in the last 6,000 years during the life of the human race. Now, folks, I don't get into it with scientists and all those folks who say that two tadpoles washed up on the bank here somewhere, and they went from a tadpole to a frog, and from a frog to a monkey, and a monkey to an ape, and an ape to a human. No, sir. I've told you oftentimes before, Pastor Shelton said some of his ancestors might have hung from the rope, but they didn't hang from the tail. Ain't that something? That's a good statement. Somebody asked you about coming from a monkey. You tell them, well, none of my ancestors hung from the tail. They may have hung from a rope somewhere, but they didn't hang from the tail. And that's what we sent word to the teacher one time. We're trying to teach our children evolutionists and all that. We just wrote a little note, say our folks might have hung from the rope, but they didn't hang from the tail. I like to look into those things, but I think they're printed day by day, and it was a very interesting study in those books. But my friend, it was just an amazing thing that happened there during the flood. But he was showing his displeasure upon the human race. Just so, and we may get to it in a little bit, just so there in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord, as an old preacher used to say who lived here, he said, the Lord took all he's going to take. He said, I don't know how long the Lord's going to put up with this. Well, I don't know how long he is either, but he didn't put up with the Noah's folks there that long. He put an end to it. And the same way with Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw that thing developing. He saw the homosexuality and the lesbianism and all of those things developing. It didn't happen overnight. And it never happened here in America overnight either, folks. And it's all this same-sex marriage. We'll get back into that in our next study. And then also I want you to remind you of our book on demon possession. And we have it available. Plus also, Divine Healing, True or False. I have that in print now. I'll be glad to send that to you. Free and postpaid by Pastor Shelton. One of the books that I glean a lot of information from in bringing these studies. But remember the old Trailblazer, mailing address, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Goodbye and God bless you.